We're starting a new series, but you may not know that. It may be your first week here at Vertical Church, and I want to welcome you to Vertical Church. We're glad that you're here. We've been praying for you this week, and we're praying that God's going to speak into your life today. And my name's Philip. I'm the pastor here. On behalf of our team and leadership, welcome to Vertical Church. We're glad that you're here today, whether it's online or in Hiawassee or here in Morganton. And we're starting a new series called House of Hope. House of Hope. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's this trend that's kind of sneaking into the world nowadays that it's got this little flavor of despair. It's got a little flavor of, man, are we really going to make it? Where are we really going? What's really happening? And I'm going to speak into that according to what the Word of God says, and I'm going to try to instill that we are going to be a house of hope as a church. That it won't matter what's happening around this world, but we're going to be a group of people that has hope because the Bible calls us to that. And so the title of the series is called House of Hope, and the title of the message is called Take Heart. So I want us to go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, if you want to turn there in the Bible app or you've brought your Bible. In a case you don't wonder, if you want a Bible, we always, and whether you're in Hiawassee or here in Morganton, as you come in, we have Bibles that are free that you can pick up and grab a highlighter. We want you to have a Bible if you don't have one. John chapter 16, starting in verse 19. And Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it. And so he said, "Are you asking yourselves what I meant? I said, in a little while you won't see me, but a little while after that you will see me again. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and then you will rejoice. And no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy." I want you to come down a little bit to verse 31, because I believe Jesus continues on with his teaching. He circles back at verse 31 and says, Jesus asks, "Do you finally believe? But the time is coming indeed, it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world." Amen. And so Jesus is teaching, and he's teaching also what's going to happen with his death. He's teaching his disciples, I'm going to be killed, you're going to have sorrow, you're going to have grief, you're going to be scattered, it's going to be difficult, but he says, in spite of all of that, it can turn into wonderful joy. Wonderful joy. Despite all of that, you can begin to pray, ask in my name, and you can receive abundant joy. And here at this church, we don't believe that this text means you can ask anything in the name of Jesus and get it. He's not like a 25-cent candy machine. You want some Skittles, you pop in a quarter, you get Skittles. They may be from 1989 if the machine hasn't been used in a while, but you're going to get Skittles. Some of us are like, I want a Ferrari in the name of Jesus. That's not what he's teaching here. What he's teaching is you can pray according to my will, ask it in the name of Jesus, and you can receive abundant joy. In me, you can have peace. And see, here's the thing is, we believe at Vertical Church that we shouldn't just trust Jesus for our salvation, our forgiveness of our sins, but if you want to call yourself a Christian, that means you need to follow the teachings of Jesus. We need to understand what Jesus teaches. And right here, he says, in spite of everything that's going to happen, you may have grief, you may have sorrow, but if you pray, abundant joy is available. I don't know about you, I like the sound of that. I like abundant joy. That sounds delightful. But Jesus says you can have that if you pray, despite grieving, despite sorrow. And then unfortunately, at the very end, he's real honest with us. I don't know if you know this about Jesus' teachings. He's pretty brutally honest. He says, in this world, you're going to have pain, you're going to have sorrow. But then he says something so interesting. He says, take heart. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And I wonder if this teaching of Jesus has been lost a little bit in this season. I don't know if you know this, but all the news right now, what does it teach us? Despair. It doesn't matter what station you turn on, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, whatever. If you're just watching the stock market too, despair, fear. But is that what the Bible teaches us? I truly believe nowadays I can kind of pick out who's been watching the news and who's been reading the New Testament. Because right now, if you come up and you're a follower of Jesus and you are just in despair at what the sake of this world is, I get it. Jesus already told me that. I didn't need some anchor on a news station to tell me we're in a bad place. Jesus says it's coming. But if you've accepted the despair, you didn't read the next sentence. Jesus said, take heart. Take heart. I've overcome the world. This world that wants to try to tell you to despair, that there's no hope, there's no changing, there's no turnaround, there's nothing different that can happen. Jesus doesn't say that's coming. He said from the get-go, take heart. I've overcome the world. The world that you say is increasingly wicked, he's overcome the world. The world that is so evil that we see children being shot and killed, that evilness, this wickedness that's going throughout our land, he says, take heart. I've even overcome that. So as Christians, I'm here today to start off the series by saying, it's time for us to compose ourselves a little bit. It's time to straighten up our back and believe what Jesus teaches. In spite of the wickedness in our land, Jesus says, take heart. He's overcome it all. When people look at the world right now and they start to despair, there should be something a little different in our step. There should be still a pep in the step of Christianity. Why? Because of what Jesus says. Not because we look at the world and get our hope. We've never gotten our hope from the world if you follow Jesus. But we should go, man, I know what Jesus teaches. I see what's happening in the world, and it's not great. It's not going in a great direction. But I'm, as a follower of Jesus, going to bank on what he teaches. And he said, whatever happens, whatever grief, whatever pain, whatever sorrow, still take heart. I've overcome the world. And then he says, ask anything. He talks about praying if you want to receive abundant joy. If you're lacking in abundant joy, what does your prayer life look like? Is it timid? Is it weak? Is it soft? Are you praying the smallest prayers you've ever prayed because you're like, man, I don't know if God can do it anymore? And you're like, Jesus, please just let me get through the line at McDonald's in less than 30 minutes. I'll take that as a miracle for today. In Jesus' name. Our man, do some of us still got a little swagger left in our prayer life? Do some of us still got a little confidence that we're praying to Jesus, who from the get-go said, I have overcome the world. Take some heart. When people look at our life, man, there should be a little confidence that abounds if things are looking bad, but Christians are coming together to pray. There should be a little confidence that rises. Man, I can see what's happening in the world, but those Christians, they're getting together to pray. I believe something's going to change. I believe something can happen. Is that still where we're at, or have we lost hope a little bit? Have we given up a little bit? And I'm here to tell you, it's time to turn off the news. You can still go read an article, but I tell you, the American church would have a different outlook and perspective if we turned off the news and read the New Testament for a year. I promise you, the state of our hope would be different. Because you read things like Jesus, who says, take heart, I've overcome the world. Followers of Jesus, it's not time to despair. It's time to hope that things can change. Where is our faith? Where's our confidence? Where is our belief right now? Because he said we can be scattered. We can have all these griefs and pains and all these things that go on. But we can pray. We can have abundant joy because we trust in one who has overcome the world. And he said something earlier. He says, no one can rob it of you. No one can take it from you. But you can give it up. You can give it up. You look around at Christians, and maybe that's where you're at, and I'm here to encourage you. No one took the hope from you. No one took the hope from you. You may have given it up, though. And it's because your eyes and focus has gone off your teacher, your Savior named Jesus, who said, don't you dare lose heart in this world. I've already overcome it. And so I know, I'm not aware. I don't watch the news, but I can still read articles from time to time. Things don't seem to be getting better. And so my response to that is, well, I'm going to lean on what Jesus teaches. I see what is happening around me. but I read what Jesus teaches. And as Christians and followers of Jesus, it's either this. We either believe what he teaches or we don't. There's no gray area. There's no middle ground. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we either believe what he teaches, that he has overcome this world, or he hasn't. And it's times like this where we've got to look each other in the eye and say, pick yourself up, dust yourself off. We have not lost hope. Jesus didn't run out of power last year. COVID didn't zap Jesus' power and authority. We still pray to one who has overcome the world. And more than ever, right now, that should mark our churches, our people, is that we have a belief that Jesus still can change things. And if you don't believe me, unfortunately, I've prepared for this. I want us to go look at another teaching of Jesus, Luke 18. Luke 18. If you're new at a vertical, as a pastor of this church, I have a very deep belief that we should read the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, in its full context. I believe the Bible works together. It's directed by God to give us this narrative and theme and understanding of what God's trying to do. We should read it in its full context. Scripture works together. Luke 18, starting in verse 1. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. And right now somebody needs to underline or highlight, never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. And then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? This is the teaching of Jesus, who I think when it comes to the things of heaven is probably our most reliable source. He's a good one to ask. And Jesus says when it comes to prayer, when it comes to seeking change, when it comes to wanting to see God move, he gives it as clear as he possibly can. He says you should pray always and never give up. Jesus, who knows the Father, who knows how things work, who knows God's capabilities more than anyone else, Jesus says, I know God. I know the Father, and I know what he's capable of, so let me teach you something. Never give up. Never give up in prayer. Never lose hope that God can change it. Never lose hope that God can move. Never lose hope that anything you're facing in front of you can outdo God. He says, never give up. Pray always. Pray always. One of the things I want to ask, did God put something on your heart a while ago, but you gave up? Did God put something on your heart, a burden on your heart, something he called you to pray for, but over time you kind of drifted? It didn't kind of happen right away? You kind of lost heart a little bit on your prayer? But Jesus is trying to tell you today, don't you dare give up hope on that. Never give up on praying that what God has put on your heart. And in case you're wondering, you've been here at Vertical, you understand one of the burdens of my heart is a move of God, that we're going to see it in our lifetime, that in the land of the living, we're going to see a move of God. I'm praying that. I'm believing. I have a burden for that. I'm cheating a little bit because I know what Scripture says. It's not the biggest step of faith to believe that God's going to do what he says he's going to do, but that's my burden. That's my prayer. We're going to see God move. People who go, I don't know that I will ever come to Jesus. People we look at and we go, they'll never come to Jesus. They're going to experience the love of God and their life changes. Why? Because I believe that's what Jesus teaches. And he comes out in this verse and he says, never give up. And I wonder if we lose hope, if we start to despair, do we no longer pray always? Do we no longer pray without giving up? Has the state of the church become a little bit like, well, I'm forgiven of my sins. This world has gone to hell in a handbasket, so I'm kind of just waiting the clock out. I'm kind of just waiting for Jesus to come back because, man, I don't know that we're changing. I'm like, what part of Luke 18 did you miss? What part of Luke 18 with Jesus, the Son of God, teaching, pray always? Why? Because God can come quickly if we pray and never give up, if we pray day and night. I've seen it happen before my eyes. I showed up at a Christian university where, man, the spiritual climate of that campus was not one that was following God. And I saw a group of crazy college students go, what if we did pray day and night? What if we just did what the Bible says? And we did, and by the time we left, we had seen miracles happen. We had seen people like me come to know Jesus, and people started to change. Why? Because it's what Jesus teaches. And so I look around at the world, and I see what's happening, and it's wicked, and it's evil, and it's not of God. It's not the kingdom of heaven. But I'm not going to lose hope, because it says if we pray day and night, if we pray without ceasing, God can move quickly. And so right now, what is going to mark our generations? Are we going to be the generations that finally broke and we gave up and we kind of just accepted the world for what it is? Or are we going to be a people who look in our eyes, we look at each other and we say, you know what? We got one shot at this. One shot at this. Our generations are going to go down with a fight. Our generations are going to go down believing what Jesus teaches, that what if we pray for this nation to change? What if we pray for God to come and move across this world? What if we pray day, night, without ceasing? Is God still able? And my question is, what do we have to lose? What is it that we have to lose, church? If we don't, why are we a little intimidated? What are we thinking? Well, maybe, what if God doesn't? Well, if he doesn't, we get more of what we're getting. So why not go, hey, I'm going to go out swinging. I'm going to go out praying. I'm going to go out trusting that God is still able to do what he says. And then I'm going to take what Jesus said in Luke 18 and apply it. I think about the Lord who looks down at the earth and sees what's happening. It's not lost on him. The brokenness, the sin of humanity, it's not lost on him. I wonder when he looks at our country, and especially something that if we've been birthed here, we're entrusted with the health of our nation spiritually. I wonder when he looks at our nation, and what he hears is the deafening sound of sin and wickedness and evil. But I wonder if that could change. I wonder if, despite the deafening sound of our sin and our brokenness, if Luke 18 can inspire people across this country to pierce through that, and the Lord hears, what is this I hear? People who are repenting. People who humble themselves. I hear people who are praying day and night, and they're never giving up. There's a different sound coming from the nations. And it's a trust in me. What if that could happen because of how we pray, how we seek the Lord? Here at Vertical Church, we believe you're a leader. You're a leader. If you've given your life to Jesus, Holy Spirit inside of you, according to the New Testament, you're a leader. You can influence the world around you. But that comes with a responsibility. The health of the nation, the health of this world right now, God has put you here for such a time as this. Right now, this is on us. This is on us. Not everyone else is doing. I'm not responsible for your sins. I got my own to repent for. But we are responsible. Did we pray? Did we pray? Did we seek? Did we never give up with the time that we were given? And you think, man, does Jesus really think like that? Well, look at the last thing he says in this teaching. Look at the end. He says, even he rendered a just decision to the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But at the very end, he sneaks this in. He says, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Man, that's not just something that ends. It's not just this small part. I think that's a huge part of this teaching. This huge challenge Jesus gives about praying and never giving up and always seeking him, praying day and night. And he says, when I return, will I find anybody who does that? When I return, will I find anybody who's still doing that? How many will I find when I return who are willing to do this? who were willing to never give up. That's Jesus. He knows the Father and knows humanity, and his challenge is, I've told you exactly how to pray. I've told you exactly how to go about your life, never giving up in prayer. But now that I've taught this, how many will I find doing it? Man, because if you never give up, despite everything that's happening in this world, it's a clear, defining line in the sand to the Lord. I see everything that happens, but I will not back down. I see darkness moving, but I believe light will go forth. I believe darkness will retreat. Those are not just words we sing in songs. It's things we declare. It's time for the churches to start declaring some things back to what's happening in this world. You're not without authority. You're not without purpose because of what Jesus has done and the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's time for us to look back at what's happening in this world and going, you will not win. I believe the Lord can still change this nation. 100%. I believe Holy Spirit, who's sent here, according to Jesus, one of the things Holy Spirit does is he brings conviction of sin. So when we ask the Lord to flood the earth for Holy Spirit to move, one of the things we're asking is, Holy Spirit, will you bring about a conviction of sin? You think that sounds harsh? No. How will any of us repent if we didn't become aware of our sin? How will any of us turn back to the Lord if we didn't become aware of our wickedness? And the worst thing I could do is have the Lord reveal my sin to me. I get to repent. I get to experience his love and grace, and then not go, I hope other people experience that. It's not that I have to go around and tell everyone that there's a sinner. I have to pray and ask Holy Spirit to do what Holy Spirit can do. Bring awareness of sin. Let people be convicted of their sin. Do we really think that what these nations are doing is beyond the grace of God? Is what happening in our land really beyond what God can forgive and change? Is what's happening in our land really something God's incapable of healing? I believe God can still move. But I believe we have to pray day and night without ceasing and never give up. Are we capable of that? Are we capable of that? Will Jesus find faith on earth when he returns? And I believe we should be a house of hope. I believe we as a church should offer a different sound back to the Lord than the sound of our sins, our wickedness. There should be a sound of faith rising up from North Georgia, going, Jesus, we believe what you teach. And if no one else will, we'll pray day and night. We'll never give up. And it doesn't matter how many there are of us. There could be 10 of us. But if we pray and we never give up, what does the scripture say? The Lord can move quickly. You notice in Luke 18, he didn't say there was a number that we needed. Nowhere in Luke 18 says, well, if you're not a church of 1,000 people, it's just not going to happen. Man, if we can't get 50,000 followers of Christ together, it's just not going to work. He just said, if you pray and you never give up, so why would we think we can't do it? Our time is now. And I believe what can mark our church is being a house of hope. They go, Jesus, you know what? I see what's happening in this world, and I know, you know what? It is not good. It's not good, but I also know you're aware of that. I also know that you taught us that in this world we're going to have pain and trouble. I already know that you are aware of our sin because you came and died for our sin. I know that you're aware, but you taught this interesting thing, Jesus, that if we pray and we never give up and we cry out day and night, that you can offer justice quickly. That's what you taught us, and that's what we're going to do. So, church, at this point, what do we have to lose? What is it that we have to lose? I think at this point we should look at each other and go, you know what? Let's go down fighting. Let's go down swinging. Let's pray that healing comes to this land. Let's pray that the Lord moves. Let's pray that something in this nation gives and comes back to the Lord. Let's pray that darkness, who thinks it owns this land, is going to meet light and understand what retreat really looks like. Because, man, when the Lord moves, there's no one that stands against him. He's already said he's overcome the world. So what if he's just waiting for somebody to ask? And that can be us. He'll go, you know what? We're going to go down believing what Jesus teaches. And I want to read one more section of Scripture, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's three long sections. Well, I got this crazy belief that the Word of God applies to our life, and it pierces to our heart. And I'm going to read some verses, and man, how these verses get applied drives me up the wall, because they're well-known verses, because they come out every election. And Christians are kind of notorious for breaking these verses out and praying it kind of against those they're trying to vote against. Look at the wickedness of the other party. I'm like, man, I don't know if that's fully in context. I don't know that that party existed when Jesus, you know, was moving the New Testament. I don't know that those were really existing when the Lord was speaking in the Old Testament. But I think if we apply them in the context of the Scripture, man, they do apply to our life today. And I want us to look at 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7, if you want to turn there. If not, it's okay. We're going to put the words up on the screen. We want to make it really hard for you to avoid the Scripture. I'm just being honest with you. You're like, well, I ain't bringing my Bible. I'm not going to open my Bible app. Well, you're going to have to close your eyes and plug your ears, because we're still going to talk about Scripture. But man, 2 Chronicles 7, starting in verse 11, it says, so Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. And then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer, and I've chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I've chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. And that's what the Lord said. He revealed that to Solomon. And you may go, well, that's the Old Testament. He's talking about that physical temple is where he'll hear those prayers, where he will respond to heal the land. And I'm here to tell you, that's why it's interesting to read the Bible in its full context, because something happens in the New Testament. And sometimes it gets missed in the death of Jesus. But if you go read in the Gospels, something happens when Jesus is crucified. And the veil in the temple is torn. And in the temple, this veil was set up because you couldn't go past it. It represented the presence of God was meeting there. They used to have to tie around the high priest's ankle a bell, because if he went past it and died, they couldn't go in and get him. They'd have to drag his body out. And this veil was this physical barrier, this reminder of the divide between the presence of God and humanity. But when Jesus died on the cross at that time, it split. It was torn. And something's changed now, that the presence of God can come and meet with humanity. Look what 1 Corinthians teaches us. 1 Corinthians verse 3. If you just want to write it in your notes, I'll go ahead and read it. It says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Well, now that gets very interesting, because this is what the Lord reveals about the temple in the Old Testament. He says, if you're praying here, I'm attentive to these prayers. I listen to these prayers. I hear these prayers made at this temple. And then something happens with the life of Jesus. The temple no longer is this physical building, but the people of God. And now the teaching becomes, if the people who are the temple cry out and humble themselves and seek the face of God, he's attentive to the prayers. Now when you read what that's happening in 2 Chronicles 7 and apply it to Luke 18, now what's starting to line up? We, as the people of God, have an opportunity to have the Lord be attentive to our prayers. His eyes are upon us. His ears are open. He's listening. What do my chosen people have to say? And in our generations, what we have to say is that this deafening sound of silence and despair are in our generations, is there a sound from his chosen people that, God, we're asking you to move. God, we're asking that you help us. We're asking that you help us be people who are humble, who seek your face. We're asking that you come and restore our land and bring healing to our land. Is that what he hears from his chosen people in our generations? Or have we lost hope and we just have silence as darkness moves forth? No, not on our watch. Man, I tell you in my heart, we'll go down swinging. We're going to go down believing that we as the people of God can cry out and ask the Lord to move. But see, here's the interesting thing, and this is what drives me up the wall about this verse, is when this verse gets quoted a lot, it's God help the other people who are wicked humble themselves. Help the other political party humble themselves. Help the other people who are my enemies humble themselves. You know what the verse says? You humble yourself. You hit your knees before the Lord. You cry out about your sin. If we want to see restoration come to our land, it doesn't start with anyone else. It starts with us being willing to go, God, forgive me of my sin. Break my heart about my sin. I'm not worrying about anybody else's wickedness first. I'm saying, God, forgive me of my sin. It talks about myself hitting my knees and seeking the face of God. Then healing comes to the land. If his chosen people want to see this happen in America, it's not first going to start with anyone else. It's got to start with us. This prayer can't come from a place of arrogance or pride. It's got to come from the humble heart that says, God, please forgive me. And I'm asking out of this humble heart, please don't just forgive me. Please forgive others. Even the wickedness in our land, please, please forgive us. Please bring healing. Bring restoration. Come help people be aware of our sin, including me. Man, what prayers are going to be answered if we're arrogant or proud about it? But I do know what prayers are going to be answered if we're humble about it. So we don't go face the darkness with pride. We go face the darkness with hope. Hope that Jesus, when he moves, nothing's standing against it. When Jesus moves, he's already overcome the world. So I ask, when you came into church today, did you come in with hope that the one you're singing and praising to is still able to move? Or has over time a lack of hope begin to take place in your heart? But here's the thing also. If we're the temple, when we lose hope, it's like coming to the Lord, sitting on the throne in your life, and going, I need you to move over. I need you to move over because I've got to have some space for a lack of hope. I need you to move over, God, because I've got something else I'm going to place my hope in. That's what we do in our life if we're the temple. Lord, I don't have room for your throne. I need you to move over. Humbling ourselves means we'll protect that throne at all costs in our life. We'll never ask the Lord to take second place to anything else. That if we're going to have hope, it goes back to, will we read the scripture and trust what Jesus said? This is on us. This is on us. The Lord has put us here for such a time as this. Will we pray without ceasing? Will we seek the Lord and have hope that he can still move? And I believe he will. The worship team wants to come back up. We'll close out. I want to close out with just a couple thoughts. The first is it time to take heart? Have you come in and as we go through the scripture, you realize, man, I may be lacking hope a little bit. I may be looking around at the world and going, man, I don't know if anything can change. I don't know what the Lord has. I don't know what he's got in store for us. I don't know that anything can change. Is it time for you to take heart again in the Lord that he has overcome the world? Maybe as you walk in, you go, man, I don't know that I'm praying without ceasing. I don't know that I'm really seeking the Lord, that he can still change. And maybe it's time for you and I to look at each other and go, this is on us. This is on us. If we want to hear the Lord respond to anything, it's that he can still come heal our land. And we challenge and encourage one another. Our time is now. Our time is now to pray for God to move and move quickly, to come and change our hearts. It's on us. Man, I believe it can happen. I believe it can happen. And I'm going to politely say, if you don't, I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray that you come join the ranks of those who will say, not in our lifetime will we give up. Not in our lifetime will we look around at what's happening in the world and go, it's too far gone. It's too far gone, because I tell you, I've met a man named Jesus who met me in my darkest moments, in my most addicted moments, my most despaired moments in life, and I met a name named Jesus who changed it all. And if he can do that in my life, you'll never convince me he can't do it in someone else's. And then it got worse, because then I started reading the scriptures, and I found out he does. He offers it for everyone. And so our time is now. Will you be a person who will pray without ceasing? And so as we close out, I want us to ask us to stand back up. Christian, will you hit the lights for me, my man? Thank you, brother. I want us to stand up. And I don't always have moments like this, but I think it's important. Because I really do believe our time is now. It's not time to wait. It's not time to hope that someone else is coming. Our time is now. And I think each and every last one of us has got to decide who we are going to be before the Lord. And so I just ask that right now you bow your heads or close your eyes or whatever posture you want to take in prayer, but I want to give you this moment for you to pray. And I first want you to ask before the Lord, Lord, is there anything that needs to change in my heart? Is there anything I need to do to humble myself before you? And just ask the Lord, reveal it to me. Lord, if there's anything I needed to do to humble myself, reveal it to me. And then the second thing we need to ask is, am I willing to commit to pray and never give up? And here's the thing, I don't think you should take this lightly at all. Whether you're online, in Hiawassee, in Morganton, do not take this moment lightly. But I'm asking, at some point right now, during our worship, afterwards, raise your hand and make a commitment before the Lord. Lord, I commit to being a person who will pray and never give up for this land. I pray that I will not look out at the nations of this world and see a place that has no hope. I will be someone, Lord, who will trust in Luke 18, and until my last breath, I will pray and never give up that you can come and heal the land, that you can come and bring a move of God and restore these people to you. And I believe you want to. And so each and every last one of us has got to search our heart and ask, am I willing to commit before the Lord to pray and never give up? And any commitment you make before the Lord is a serious matter, and do not take it lightly. But maybe you need to ask, Holy Spirit, come help me. Remind me, put up a sticker, do something, but remind me daily, Lord, to pray and never give up, that our land will turn back to you, that we'll become aware of our sin and we will repent and you will bring healing to our land. And it's time for Christians to have a little swagger back in our prayer life, a little bit of confidence to believe that God can still do what he says he's going to do. It's time for when we worship to have some confidence, to declare something forth, not just to sing the words, not just to hope something happens, but to declare, I believe what I'm saying is going to happen before my eyes. That hope changes the way we pray, that we have a confidence before the Lord. And so, man, as we sing this last song, worship team, lead us to declare something. Lead us to believe something. God, won't you come and meet with us? Won't you raise people up in your churches across these worlds that we will declare that darkness will retreat, that the name of Jesus still brings hope, it still brings healing, and we are going to stake our faith and trust on what you say, Jesus. So come and move, and right now is our moment. Will we make a commitment that, God, we will pray without ceasing, and we will never give up, that you can bring healing and restoration to our land? And so if you're willing to make that commitment, you raise that hand before the Lord. And you say, God, right now, in the midst of everything that's happening in this world, I commit that I will never give up and believe that you can move and you can bring revival to the lands. And we ask you to do it quickly in the name of Jesus. Reveal your love and your character to people who didn't even know to ask, who weren't aware of their sin, but we ask right now in the name of Jesus, a move of God is starting, is being birthed across this world, that darkness is going to retreat, and people are going to experience the love of God, and it's going to change their life. Chains break in the name of Jesus. Strongholds of the enemy break in the name of Jesus. People who are finding their identity in sin, it's revealed it's false in the name of Jesus right now. We pray against things like abortion. We pray against things like homosexuality that's trying to drag people away. We pray against things that are addictions like pornography and alcohol and drugs. They break in the name of Jesus. No stronghold is going to hold people as God, you move forth to bring justice. Use us for your honor and your glory, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Come on, y'all, let's declare something.